Okay, so when you hear Hermes handbag, what's the first thing that pops into your head? Is it just pure luxury, that sort of extreme exclusivity? Or maybe just the price tag?
Yeah.
Today, we're going deeper than just, admiring a pretty bag. We're doing a real deep dive into the history, which is actually quite surprising. The design thinking behind it all, some really clever innovations, and yeah, the frankly astonishing investment side of Hermes bags.
That's exactly right. Our plan for you today is to get way beyond just the glossy surface. We really want to dig up those nuggets of knowledge that show why these bags aren't just accessories. They're like pieces of history, design icons, even financial assets in some cases. You'll find out how Hermes went from, well, making horse saddles to basically setting global fashion trends and what makes them hold their value so incredibly well. Think of this as your fast track to really understanding what makes this brand tick.
I am definitely ready for that fast track. Okay, let's get into it, starting right at the beginning. Because the origins are, well, way more down to earth than you might think. Think late 1800s. We're talking about the HAC, the Harakiris. It wasn't this chic fashion thing back then. Nope. Its first job was super practical, carrying riding boots, horse gear, that kind of stuff. Which, I mean, makes total sense given Hermes started with equestrian goods, right?
Yeah, and what's really fascinating is how that function, that initial purpose, really shaped the design. The HAC is much bigger. The smallest is 40 centimeters, which is pretty substantial. And those short handles, not for elegantly draping over your arm, they were for grabbing and carrying heavy gear. It was basically a tough, useful travel bag for riders. And, unlike a lot of the later bags, the HAC was pretty unisex, often used by men too. People kind of forget that part.
Wow. So a bag for muddy boots basically laid the groundwork for this global luxury empire. Wild. But Hermes didn't just stay stuck in the stable, did they? They quickly became, well, innovators, especially with functionality.
Oh, absolutely. Innovation is key. And you have to talk about the Hermes bolide bag here. Emile Maurice Hermes designed it for his wife. This was back in 1923. And the big deal, it was the very first handbag to have a zipper. Just think about that for a second, what that meant. Before that, you had clasps, maybe drawstrings. The zipper, it wasn't just a new closure, it totally changed how you used a bag. So much more secure, easier to get into. It kind of redefined luxury handbags, really,
Yeah.
set a new standard. And that look, that domed shape and handles, it's still timeless.
That's amazing. A zipper seems so basic now, but yeah, what an impact. How did they manage that shift, though, from, rugged horse gear and engineering like the bolide zipper to the super sophisticated high fashion image they have now?
But it wasn't overnight. It was definitely gradual. But it was smart. They understood the world was changing. They moved from horses to travel needs, then into everyday luxury. And that transition really clicked when their bags started getting noticed by, well, the most famous women in the world.
Oh, okay. And this is where the Hollywood glamour and sort of royalty connection comes in, right?
Yeah.
Because some of the most famous Hermes bags are literally named after these iconic women. That really cements them in history.
It really does. And it shows how cultural moments can give objects like these a whole deeper layer of meaning. Look at the Kelly bag. Originally, back in the 30s, it was the Sac à Dépêche. But everyone knows it as the Kelly because of Grace Kelly, Princess of Monaco.
Right.
The story goes, during the filming of To Catch a Thief, she got really attached to it and then famously used it to sort of shield her early pregnancy from the paparazzi cameras. That one picture, that spontaneous moment, it wasn't planned marketing or anything, but it instantly made the Kelly the symbol of like quiet elegance, personal style, its shape, that slim profile, single handle, the optional strap, it just endured. They keep updating materials and colors, but the core Kelly shape, classic.
It's incredible, isn't it? How one photo op basically creates a legend. And talking of legends, okay, most people, when they think Hermes, they probably think Birkin, named after Jane Birkin, the actress and singer. It's just so popular. And it's a great example of sticking with the design, isn't it? The main shape hasn't really changed much, but they keep it interesting with like limited editions, different leathers, different hardware. You see the little 25 centimeter ones now reflecting that trend for smaller bags, but the 30 centimeters is still maybe the go-to for everyday use. Oh, and we should probably mention the Constance too. That sleek shoulder bag, Jackie, you loved it. You know the one with the big H buckle right on the front? It just shows how Hermes can create these designs that last way beyond just one season.
Definitely. But it also brings up something interesting. Beyond those big famous names, what about the really clever, maybe even slightly hidden design features, the ones that show Hermes is thinking about practicality just as much as luxury? They've actually made quite a few bags that you can use in multiple ways. It's like an engineering mindset applied to elegance.
That's interesting because, there are loads of multi-way bags out there now. Is there sometimes a risk that those features can feel a bit forced? Or does Hermes manage to make it feel genuinely luxurious and useful?
That's a really good point. I think with Hermes, the difference is often in the subtlety and just the sheer quality of how it's done. Take the Halzan. Came out around 2014, really picked up steam by 2017. People call it a four-way bag. It can be a messenger, a tote with short or long straps, or you can fold it into a clutch. But the clever part isn't just that it can do all that. It's how it does it so discreetly. It's got a really understated design, no massive logo. It's made from this lovely, durable Clemens leather and these unique handles shaped like stirrups, a little nod to their history. It really taps into that whole quiet luxury idea where the function and quality speak louder than the brand name.
Okay, that makes sense. It's not just ticking boxes, it's thoughtful integration.
Exactly. Or look at the Cherche Midi from 2015. It's got this really cute, very distinct flap on the front. And it closes with a chaîne d'ancre link.
Yeah.
You know, the anchor chain design. That motif has actually been part of Hermes jewelry since way back. So it's a subtle brand nod again.
Yeah.
And the strap adjusts. So yeah, it can be a shoulder bag, crossbody, or clutch. Inside, it's really well organized too. Little zip sections, places for everything.
Right. And then for something maybe a bit more casual, more everyday versatile, there's the Gypsyeres, and there's Jean-Paul Gaultier introduced that one back in 2008. Unisex messenger bag. Inspired by, what was it? Nature, hunting, fishing. It's got that relaxed sort of saddlebag feel.
Yeah.
Adjustable strap. You can take it off entirely. And it even has that sort of Kelly-style flap enclosure. Seems perfect for someone who's always out and about. Okay. Celebs like Nicole Scherzinger, Elle Macpherson, they've been seen with it.
And then moving to something even more modern, maybe minimalist, the Bardotto backpack. It's really stylish, but the logo is almost hidden, sort of camouflaged into the color of the bag. And interestingly, instead of using silk for the drawstrings, which you might expect, they use leather, soft leather, which feels more durable, maybe more understated again. It's positioned as, you know, great for travel, city exploring, even a really chic gym bag.
I like that the innovation isn't always about being flashy. Sometimes it's just about being really smart, really practical, but still elegant. It's not only about the huge statement bags. They clearly think about everyday needs, too.
Absolutely. The garden party bag is a great example of that. It's maybe less well known, but it's got this simple, quite unobtrusive design that's all about being useful. It often comes in durable Naganda leather or even canvas, which is water resistant. Easy closure, just a simple clue to sell snap button. And it even has snaps on the sides so you can make it wider or narrower. Really adaptable, great for work, great for weekends.
Okay.
Yeah, you might spot someone like Reese Witherspoon carrying one. It's that kind of versatile, practical chic.
It really sounds like these bags are designed to be used, not just admired, like for a long time.
That's absolutely central to the philosophy, which brings us to their focus on, well, amazing craftsmanship, incredible color, and just really high quality leather, often over big, flashy logos. It's fundamental to Hermes. We've already touched on some leathers, that tough Naganda, the soft Clemens bull calfskin, the structured Epsom that resists scratches. Each leather is picked for a reason, for what it brings to that specific bag's design and use. You know, like the Halzan in Clemens, that leather is known for being soft but having a nice grain. And it just gets better with age. Perfect for a bag you use all the time in different ways.
And it's not just the leather itself, it's how they work with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That handcrafting process. You mentioned the Pline bag earlier, soft light. Taking 2 or 3 weeks to make one bag, what actually goes into that? What makes it so special, apart from just the time?
Well, it's the consistency, for one. Usually one single artisan makes the entire bag from cutting the leather to the final stitch. There's a real sense of ownership and connection to the piece. And they use that famous saddle stitch. It's done by hand with two needles simultaneously. It's incredibly strong, very time consuming, but it creates this really durable seam. It's a direct link back to their saddle making roots. This is the opposite of mass production. Each bag is basically being made as a future heirloom.
And then, for the real collectors, the serious fans, there's the horseshoe stamp. That's the really special one, isn't it? It means it's a special order. A customer can actually customize a bag, like choose the exact leathers, colors, hardware. That's not just about getting something unique, is it? It sounds like it's also a big signal about your relationship with Hermes, being a loyal customer, and that must boost the value, too.
Oh, significantly. It marks the bag as truly one of a kind, built to specific preferences. And yes, it absolutely signals a strong relationship with the house, which collectors value highly. And this focus on detail, on solving problems elegantly, it even filters down to accessories for the bags, like the Forbee organizer. It's not a bag, it's an insert, made from calfskin and canvas, beautifully crafted itself. And its job is simple. Keep your stuff organized inside your expensive handbag and protect that lovely leather lining from, you know, spills or scratches. You can just lift it out and pop it into another bag. It costs around £450, which isn't cheap for an organizer, but it shows how Hermes thinks about the whole experience, right down to the practicalities of using their bags every day.
That level of detail, that care, it really does explain a lot about the prestige. Which brings us neatly to, well, the value, beyond just the initial cost, because these bags, for many people, they really are investments, serious ones.
Exactly. They can appreciate in value, sometimes significantly, like fine art or rare watches.
So if someone's thinking about investing, or maybe they have a Hermes bag and are wondering about its value, what's something people often get wrong? A common mistake, maybe?
I think a common mistake is assuming any Hermes bag will automatically skyrocket in value, or that just having the name is enough. In reality, it's more nuanced. Experts look at several things. The specific model matters a lot. Birkins, Kellys, some Constances are usually top tier, but even within those, certain sizes or limited editions might be hotter. Current trends definitely play a part. What's desirable now? And crucially, condition. This is huge. A bag that looks brand new, pristine, will fetch way, way more than one that's scuffed, stained, or has tarnished hardware. Getting a bag professionally cleaned or restored, if needed, can genuinely boost its financial value quite a bit.
Okay, condition is key. And you mentioned pawning earlier. What's the real advantage of pawning a bag versus just selling it if you need cash? Why keep ownership?
Right. That's a really important difference. Selling it to, say, a pawnbroker or consignment shop means you get cash, but the bag is gone. And you'll likely get less than its market value because they need to make a profit when they resell it. Pawning is different. You're essentially getting a loan using the bag as collateral. You still own the bag. You borrow against its value, maybe around 70% of what it's actually worth on the market. This gives you access to funds, but you have the option to pay back the loan plus interest and get your bag back. You retain the asset. You could even potentially pawn it again later if needed.
And the value can be pretty staggering. I saw a figure, a 2015 Hermes Birkin. It sold at auction in 2019 for just over $300,000. Now, okay, that's obviously exceptional. But even regular coveted pieces, you're often talking maybe £4,000 to £18,000, sometimes much more. That's real money tied up in a handbag. And getting those valuations right requires real expertise. People like David Sonnenthal at New Bond Street Pawnbrokers, they specialize in this, understanding the market, the trends for luxury goods. So wrapping this up is really clear, isn't it? Hermes bags are way more than just extensive arm candy. They're this amazing mix of history, really clever design, incredible craftsmanship, surprising usefulness. And yeah, serious investment potential, from, you know, carrying horse tack to being symbols of global luxury. It's quite a journey. A few brands have that kind of story.
It truly is remarkable. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? When you consider the artistry, the thought that goes into hidden features, the way these pieces hold their value, what's next for luxury? Especially now, with everyone talking about sustainability and also wanting things that feel really personal. Will the next big innovations be subtle game changers like that first zipper? Or maybe like that secret pouch inside the garden bag? Or something totally different?
That is definitely something to think about. Maybe the next time you look at any object you use every day, you'll wonder, what's the hidden story? What's the craft behind it? There might be a whole deep dive waiting there too.